Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Yuri Morgan. I work for this legislature through the Audit Committee and its current chairman, Representative Ralph Samuels. I have been assigned to serve on the staff of the Denali Commission to represent this body and your interests in the business and the programs of the Commission. We're here today, as requested. I've asked Jeff Stacer, our federal co-chair, to join me in helping to illustrate what the Denali Commission does, what it's accomplished since its genesis 4 years ago, and also how it's achieved what it's accomplished. A few weeks ago, our commissioners got together for the first quarterly meeting of the year, and instead of us program managers presenting before them on these program areas for the day, we decided to try something different. We set up a large block of time and gave them the chance to spend the day asking us questions. So they were the ones who set the direction, and we followed. And we'd like to try to do the same thing with you folks today. We'd like to leave the majority of the time this afternoon to have you guys ask whatever questions on your mind. I have Jeff Stacer here, and the two of us, and we have a couple of others with us. We can try and answer those. Before we move on to that, I'd like to ask Jeff just to take a few minutes to describe how the Denali Commission is achieving a couple of principles: accountability and transparency in delivering government services.
And Jeff, before you proceed, I just want to sort of set the rules down here. I think if it's okay with you, if there are questions that come up while you're giving your presentation, members just let the chair know, and we'll interrupt at that time so that in the continuity of the presentation, we can address the questions.
Absolutely. That's fine. Thank you. Before I start, I'd like to introduce two of our other key staff members here. Rachel Petro has just joined us from the governor's office, lieutenant governor's office specifically. Governor Murkowski has appointed Lauren to be the full-time state co-chair for the commission. Welcome. Rachel, would you like to say anything up front here?
Sure. I'll just...
Please, explain your role.
And for the record, just introduce yourself.
Sure. For the record, my name is Rachel Petro, Office of Lieutenant Governor, detailed to the Denali Commission as a state, the administration's representative at the commission. My job is really as a resource for the state, and specifically for this administration, but we're looking to work not just throughout the administration, but also with the legislature. So I'm a resource for the state, and we'll be working to make this more of a state program as well. So maybe the next briefing, the state will have a little bit more to do with it. And I think that Yuri's role, he's your direct resource, but don't hesitate to call on him as well.
Thank you.
Like I mentioned, this morning at 8 o'clock, we started the cabinet retreat with a briefing by the Denali Commission, where we were introduced and explained our roles and functions to the cabinet. And that's principally Rachel's role, is to keep the cabinet informed of what we're doing and keep us on track. I'd also like to introduce Tessa DeLong from Ketchikan. Tessa, why don't you explain, come on up for the record, state your name and tell us what you're doing.
For the record, my name is Tessa DeLong. I'm a graduate intern at the commission. I'm pursuing a Master's of Public Administration at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. I will graduate in May of this year. I've had the opportunity to stay on with the commission and work in programmatic areas in each of our four program areas, but most specifically with the healthcare and the economic development areas of the commission. It's been very rewarding and interesting.
Good. Representative Williams, you want any questions of your constituents?
We went through that earlier.
Okay. All right.
Both of them actually were.
Okay.
Thank you. I know that we've addressed this body before about where we've been, where we are, where we thought we were going. I'd like to keep that same flow. Where we've been since last we spoke is that we've pursued the two principal themes of energy and health benefits. We have completed or have under construction contracts 50 health clinics. We have over 30 bulk fuel facilities done, and about a half dozen to a dozen projects that are related to energy distribution or generation or management that are actually completed. Now, we've got a total number of projects that goes into the hundreds, but those are sub-projects and parts of other larger projects or training projects. But we started out briefing the legislature with the principles that we wanted to be held absolutely accountable. We wanted to be known to be effective and efficient and not to invent policies. That's not our job. Our job is to take the policies created by folks that are elected to office to do that job. Our job is to implement policies, whether it be national or state, in this state-federal partnership. So our goal has been to be effective and efficient. And to do that, we have to be transparent. And what I'd like to reveal today is how we do that. The website that you see here is live. We're on the internet. Any citizen in Alaska can do what I'm about to do. And I'd like to just walk you through this to show you how it works so you can, I think you'll come to the understanding we have that every single citizen in Alaska is a project manager for the Denali Commission. They have the same information we have at the same time we get it from this information system. And that's extremely powerful. If you visit the website, you can go directly to this project database and log on under public reports. If you're one of our partners, you can log on and update data. Otherwise, all you can do is read the data. But from this database, you can visit every single project and drill down to every detail. One way to make that easy is this interactive project map. When you click on that, up pops a GIS map that's got a lot of data on it. It's populated by a database of shared information among all the agencies. We mine data from other agencies. And when people send us a voucher to be paid, after they give us the data, they electronically are paid. And that data never gets changed. It goes forward into these reports. So when I give these briefings to the public, I never know what the cost share pie is going to look like. Or I'm not going to know what the progress chart looks like. It'll surprise me as much as it does you. There's a high degree of risk in this for bureaucrats, but we think that's, based on our experience to date, the most effective way to do it. You can screen out things on this map to make it easier to read, and you can zoom in. I'm going to zoom in to an area. I'm going to say no filter. If you wanted to filter it, you could filter it by whatever project area you're interested in. You can go to Center on a Community. I'm going to do this very quickly and then take you back to some tools that are very useful, I think, for this body. The data you see here is populated by state databases, the RAPIDS database, things like that. If we go to Uniclete, it takes you right, shows you where it is graphically. You can zoom in on it. If you put the when I double-click on that dot, it blows up and shows you what's in our database as of today for that project. If there's more than one project in the community, you can scroll down and see what they are. It shows cost sharing. It refers you to the resolution, which gives you the reasons why we did the project. The status as we have it from our latest report from our partner agency. And in this case, the reason I picked Uniclete is we actually have photographs in the database. October the 2nd, October the 11th, the snowfall. It shows the sub-regional clinic going up at Uniclete, shows them working through the winter when the temperatures are 30 below to the point where they've got it enclosed. And now they're working on the inside and they'll perfect that this summer. There's a story about this that I like to tell, and we told it to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, when he's here, is that in the middle of the winter, when the temperatures got so cold that the pneumatic tools froze up and there's no hardware store nearby, these folks continued to work with hand tools through the winter, and you'd expect them to bend nails with a hand tool, knowing that there's going to be sheetrock to cover up those bent nails. After they got to the point where they enclosed it, and these were local hire folks from Norton Sound, we went there to have the opening ceremony where the villagers from the community were allowed to go inside the building for the first time and see the footprint of how it would be laid out. But it was just a shell of a building. You could see where every nail had gone in. So we went around with a team trying to find bent nails and just count them. And the folks that built this were standing by the side. We couldn't find a single bent nail. Now that's pride of craftsmanship, that's pride of ownership. And we knew those folks that built it knew where all the pipes and all the wires were. If they needed to repair it, they would. And we feel that was a story in itself. We helped train those folks. We helped on all the projects train people for a job, not for training's sake. So far we've trained about 1,600 Alaskans, and they've gone to work on actual jobs. But we want to be able to take people to any project and give them all the data we have anytime it's convenient for them to do that. So if you like to, if you want to do that, you can also go to a report by community, pull up any community and see what's going on in the community across all the program areas that we work in. This is accountability. This is transparency. What we told the cabinet this morning was, if you set the benchmark for an agency, that agency ought to be able to meet that benchmark and show you how it got the information to meet that benchmark, where it came from, and we should have some credibility in the system. These other things on this front page of our website are the performance indicators that go with those benchmarks. The same things we report to our federal OMB, we report to every citizen, and it's updated every day whenever there's a change to the database. So here's our progress chart. You may recall seeing that the last time we were here. Every quarter we show this to the commissioners, but on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, this information is available to everybody in real time as soon as we have it. You can see the progress on both fuel tanks. You can see in the orange bar where we required business plans, realizing after a couple of years of experience in getting out there, that without a business plan, you can't guarantee sustainability. You have to depreciate the asset, and you have to put that money in an audible account. And you have to have a backup operator in case the organization running the facility fails. Somebody else steps in to take it over. And we have partner agencies like the Coast Guard, the EPA, and others checking on these business plans and execution of all this. You can't repossess a bulk fuel tank, but you can give ownership to somebody else if it's not being maintained. And that's a feature of the program. We learned a lot in the bulk fuel program. That translates all the way through all the other programs. If you get down to project reports, you can go to a project list and print out a list of everything in the database. You can sort it, and we put this in for this body. Here's the legislative district. Sort it by legislative district. Let's pick one. Any suggestions? What about
39.
31?
39.
Let's see what's going on up in your neck of the woods. You can have headings to the report on an optional basis. We'll leave them all in there. It's going to be wider than the screen, but that's okay. Now we're going to go down to the bottom of this page, which says print the report. You can print it in any format that's convenient to you and your staff. You want an Excel spreadsheet, a Word prop, whatever. Just hit view report, and the data that we have will be pulled up and categorized by all those little blocks that we've checked off how we want to see the data. Obviously an awful lot of things going on up there, so take a second to pull up.
Thank you.
I hope I'm going to see what's going on. But the transparency of this and the ease of getting reports is a fundamental shift in how government operates. We did not inherit anybody else's systems or people or any of those things, so we had the advantage of starting from scratch.
So big it crashed the server.
Now we can take money out of Representative Foster's district.
Yeah. I didn't want to make a remark, Mr. Chairman. I've got Joe Kladuas here with the Norton Sound Health Corporation. He's the CEO. I wonder if he can stand and introduce the other members of the directorship he's got here with him. And Jeff Stacer is actually making these plans in the interface that we're seeing on the screen. And I did want to thank you. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. Emily Hughes, our board chair, Keller, Roy Agarwinda, first vice chair.
Well, you're so far back, I don't think it came across on the microphone. Now you have to come up to the microphone and tell all those people's names again. We'll let you pass.
You can see from this report is here, these are the projects in House District 39. And to see them all, you're going to have to scroll down this page quite a ways. Some of these projects are what we call subtasks of larger projects. So each of these is separately funded and tracked as a separate entity so we can have some cost controls and accountability. But you can see the St. Lawrence Subregional Clinic, the Wascheria design for various communities, a couple of Wascheria projects, fire suppression system. The public infrastructure is critical to rural Alaska is what we're focused on. Let's get out of this. This is an Excel spreadsheet format. You can download it as a file and manipulate it, or you can just cut and paste right off the website. Does anybody have any questions at this point, or anything they'd like me to look up? I can show you another feature of this. What we're thinking is the program update. Sometimes you want to see what's going on more universally than an individual project or a collection of projects. So you can go to the program update, and it's a monthly update. The staff knows that I'm not going to bother them for lots of information, but wherever I go, I'm going to go to this report. So if it's not up to date and it's not accurate, they're going to be embarrassed. But this is where we get our information. Thank goodness it says February, not January. Thank goodness it's got access up front, and that's a programmatic area, one of our themes, if you will. The next big thing after energy and health, and I'm going to ask Yuri to address that in a second. If you go down these reports, you'll see another feature is who's responsible in our staff. There's one person on our staff responsible for everything in the energy area. So you have one go-to person. Now, that person has one go-to person at the next level down, and that's our partner agencies. Currently, ADA, which is a state agency, and AVEC, Alaska Village Electric Cooperative, which is a regulated public utility. We've gone out with requests for proposals for other partners that can come in and deliver whatever we're trying to do faster, better, and cheaper. We want to make them a partner. I mentioned before about policies. To guide what we do, we've set up policy advisory groups. In this case, Eric Yule, the Rural Electric Cooperative President, Association President, chairs a group that includes the chief of the Regulatory Commission, chief of some operating utilities, people that have experience in the field. They don't prioritize projects. They don't tell us which ones to do, but they tell us things that agencies don't know about utilities. They watch out for us to make sure we don't make mistakes about how we fund projects. Are we doing it in the right way and not disrupting the private sector?
Jeff, can you take just a second? Representative Bill Stoltz has a question.
Yes.
Quick question. I confess, not a real good understanding about the Denali Commission. Is it? I've been under the impression it's mostly rural in nature. But is it something like Representative Williams' district that's been under economic distress because of federal policies? Is there a chance for any resources of the commission going to something like that?
To be very specific, yes. What the law says, and it was crafted deliberately not to define the word rural, under the theory that Anchorage looks rural from New York City or Washington, D.C. So we had to look at what's the federal rationale for getting involved. Why should the feds do anything as opposed to the state? And we looked at those situations where there's a federal interest, like bulk fuel tanks, which are largely owned by federal entities during the territorial days and abandoned to local maintenance without a plan. So that was a big issue to get us started. As we get into the things like clinics, we look for the distressed community criteria. Each program has its own, but it's a factor of economics and access. Do you have access to a primary health clinic? If not, why not? Does it make cost-effective sense to build a sub-regional clinic and short-stop somebody from having to go all the way back to Anchorage? If so, that's a priority. We have a steering committee for health that lays out some of those guidelines about what's the referral pattern, how do you do that. We're doing projects in Fairbanks and Anchorage and Ketchikan and Juneau, but we have a challenge that I'd like to share with you and with the challenge we'll share with the administration. How do we prioritize the next power line extension? Where's the plan? What's the priority of need? What are the criteria we should use? Until we have those criteria, I think you'll see us stumbling in that area. We shouldn't, I would argue, we shouldn't be deciding where to put the next power line extension. That should be some kind of a state plan or at least a regional plan. But without that, we're going to be trying to go forth and do good as best we can. Because power line extensions and consolidations of isolated communities into grids affects bulk fuel storage, affects the cost of power, it affects the other parts of our mission. So yes, the eligibility is there. The commission guides us, and the five commissioners are non-state, non-federal employees. That's kind of the concept. To move the decision-making out of Washington bureaucrats out to the field, closer to the problems. If the commission told us, we want you to go in this direction, we'd do the best we could to get there, consistent with congressional guidance and presidential dictates. But if we're all in the same sheet of music, those things can fall in place, which is a good entree into what I'd like to ask Yuri to address. Each of our staff on the program side are borrowed from an agency. Our overhead rate is about 2%. About 98% of the money goes into projects. When your staffer arrives on our team, as Yuri did, after he gets his feet on the ground and establishes relationships and knows how to get the word to you and back and forth, he's still got capacity that we'd like to tap into. So we've made him the program manager for all things that have to do with access. I'd like to ask him to explain what that means.
Yeah, well, there's a question that the commission gets a lot, and that is, what other areas could you assist in? What's your next focus going to be? And our delegation out in Washington have asked recently, well, is access and transportation something you guys could do? And our response to that is, well, if he wants to, and if our governor, if the legislature, if the communities think we should, then we'll pull the right people together and figure it out.
Yuri, can you stop for just a second and hold that thought? Can you grab that microphone, that one that's right on the table there in front of you? I think they're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay.
Pull that.
Can you hear me now?
Thank you. That's good.
So today, the NALA Commission is in just the basic information gathering mode. Our goal is to try to understand what opportunities there are for us to participate in access. And when I say access, I mean all modes of transportation, air, land, sea. We've identified community needs. We've gone out to a number of different folks, asking them what they think we might be able to do. On a couple of occasions, we've met with the DOT, Commissioner Barton and his team, Niall Caesar and Bob Martin with the BIA, the Rhodes fellow there, Julie Kitka, Nelson Anopic with the AFN, Kevin Ritchie with the Municipal League, members of the Transportation Committee of this body, regional nonprofits. So we've gone out and asked a lot of people what they think we should be doing. And there's primarily four issues that has come out of this, at least as I see it and as we see it. Authority, prioritization, project delivery, and sustainability. And we're just getting into the first one with authority. Our Senator Murkowski last week introduced a bill calling for the creation of a Denali transportation system, which would authorize a funding level in the bill. It was of the magnitude that the DOT currently gets through the Federal Highway Administration. And we've gone to all those folks that I've mentioned before to ask them, well, what do you think about this language? How do you think it should be changed or modified to fit our needs? And they've submitted their thoughts on a couple of different occasions, and when we get done here, I'll go down and meet with them again and get some more thoughts of theirs, with the intention of forwarding this input onto our delegation in Washington. Here's a group of Alaskans whose business it is to build roads. Here's what they think about Senator Murkowski, what she's doing with this bill, and also this information will be forwarded on to Congressman Young, who chairs the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. As that issue moves along in its own track, we'll move into those other issues. How do you prioritize projects? As Jeff mentioned earlier today, this is a federal agency. I'm the state, but this is a federal agency, and should they be the ones selecting which get built and which don't? It should probably be up to the communities that are there and the regions and the state, and at the end, the Fed should be able to try to help out where it can. And then those last two issues that we'll get to in the next 6 to 9 months.
How do you, said sustainability. What do you base that on? Sustainability of what?
When you build something, you have to think in terms of not just how much it's going to cost today, but how much it's going to cost tomorrow in terms of operating and maintaining a road, or in terms of perhaps not so much depreciation of infrastructure like a road, but a dock. These are things that need to be replaced over the years, and so how do you account from the very beginning? Who's going to take care of it, and where the money's going to come from? That's as we do in our other programs. Those guidelines need to be adapted to this new one if we do get into this business.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just question about relationships. You are a legislative staffer.
I work for legislative audit through and Representative Samuels.
Okay, you're working for LBNA and
LBNA.
And kind of detached to the Denali Commission.
Yeah,
paid for by the legislature.
My salary comes from you guys. I'm at the Denali Commission because you guys think it's a good idea.